The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on Veritas, we explore a hidden reality, one most people don't want to admit exists. There's a war being waged, and our guest, Padgett Hillebrand, is right in the thick of it. She's been battling forces that go beyond the physical world, interdimensional threats, psychic warfare, and non-human entities infiltrating our everyday lives. Born in Australia and now living in California, Padgett has taken on these dark forces for years. From stopping the installation of harmful technologies in her neighborhood to protecting herself from psychic attacks and energy manipulation, she's been on the front lines of a war most of us can't see. But make no mistake, the battle is real. Her book, Interdimensional Disturbances Access Denied, is more than a warning. It's a guide to surviving the very real dangers posed by these unseen forces. This isn't some abstract spiritual theory. Padgett's talking about concrete, tactical defense against non-human entities, demons, and the psychic attacks threatening to manipulate us all. Tonight, we dive into her most intense encounters with these entities and the practical methods she's developed to protect herself, and that you can use too. This is about defending your mind, your body, and your freedom from forces that are determined to control you. Padgett Hillebrand is coming up next. Welcome to the Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And directly from Southern California, I'd like to welcome Padgett Hillebrand. Hello, Padgett, and welcome to Veritas.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Southern California, a lot of things happening in California, a lot of interdimensional things happening there. But I want to begin. I always begin with your trajectory, your background. Your journey began in Australia. Also, the folks here in the United States probably won't detect the accent anymore because you've been here long enough. But it seems to have traveled far beyond the physical realm. What first woke you up? Well, what awakened your awareness of interdimensional influences in our everyday lives?
It's way hard, too hard to say. I mean, when I was born, I remember feeling what my father felt at seeing me. You know, he got so grossed out by birth. I was the first birth he ever saw. And I took it personally, like, oh, I'm ugly. I make men sick and things like that. So I remember that. And I always had little friends and experiences that I did not understand because I was in Australia. We didn't have a lot of television. So it's not like I got the ideas I got from scripts because I didn't even know a lot of these, you know, stories that the Americans had at the same time. I even went to school in South Africa where they didn't have the television. So I just sort of had all these experiences that I did not understand. How can you be me from the future? How can you be telling me you're my descendant? You know, all this weird stuff that I didn't have language for. I was 8 years old when I was kicked out of church. And I can only imagine that's because I went to the wrong church because I got on my bike and I rode to church one day because I told my mom, I want to go to church. So I just rode. She told me where to go. And I think I went to the wrong one. I think I went to a Catholic church rather than the Anglican church. And so they were very stern and I got thrown out of church. And I think that's because I was probably shaking my head or something. And I wasn't meaning to be rude, but
I'm Catholic. So you were kicked out. But it's probably because of the whole standing up, kneeling, up and down, and you didn't understand what that was.
No, I believed in reincarnation or different points of focus or multiple points of focus simultaneously. And yet I didn't even have that language. So when they were talking about things, I think I was kind of like, feels like a little too much of a closed system for what I feel. Anyway, I think I said something maybe, and I was just told, this isn't for you, leave. So I left. But and then I tried again to go to church when I was about 12. But yeah, and then I tried again when I was about like 35. But it's not for me.
And what happened later?
Just the way that I am is that when I was about 13, I was going really dizzy because I was like, there's things that I just don't understand because I know I do understand. And I know what's going on, but there's something here like that's overlaying on me and it's making me forget. And, you know, things like that happened. Or I'd meet a new girl at school and I'd walk home with her and the front door would open and I could feel the abuse that was happening to her. Just things. I'm a full sensory feeler, but I didn't know that. When I discovered Bewitched, I was like, yes, that's who I want to be. That's who I am. And we can all do that. We can create what we need to create right here and now by holding a space for that overrides like our baggage and what have you. But I didn't know how to do that. And then later on, I discovered it's with Pinky Rose. It's holding a space of Pinky Rose love. And that when I went to go to acupuncture school, that all happened because I wanted to be a naturopathic doctor, but they wouldn't allow that in California yet. Then when they did allow it, they made it that, you know, you had to be in bed with Big Pharma. So, but way before then I went to acupuncture school because I was just, I knew I wanted to be something, but I didn't, you know. And then when I did, I decided I'm going to be an acupuncturist. I got on the phone and called all these people and asked if I could apprentice with them. And it turns out you can't do it that way. You have to go to school and you have to get the license and blah, blah, blah. So it just.
What is, awesome. You are an esoteric acupuncturist. How does this differ from traditional acupuncture? How did you come to practice that form of healing?
Because I discovered Mikio Sankey, I think when I was still in school, and this is something that's been brought to him from like Joel Cool and like these various light planes masters kind of people. And you put the acupuncture needles in a certain order. You take them out in a certain order. You're not activating them. You're not trying to get what's called da qi, which is like strength, strong qi. You're not trying to sedate, which is like relaxing a situation. You're just putting the needles in and it sets up a grid that does this kind of unlocking, like qua kind of thing. And if a person is ready, information will download to them because it's already there. It's their own self that's blocking the information from them. And so esoteric acupuncture helps bring it in. It's just in a very, very amazing, like art form, really, healing. And the other modality I do is German auricular medicine, which is working with the ear. And the acupuncture points, it's an upside down baby, but it does so much more than that. If someone comes in with a sore right hip, you find the point that's activated, that's strong, and you do that point, and it's just amazing. It can just make a hole just go and go away. And the teeth can be handled that way. Psychology problems can be handled that way. Birth trauma that you don't even know you have, like a guy in one of my classes, they found that when he was 6 months gestation in his mom's womb, that something happened. And he's like, well, I'll call her. So he called her and she said, oh, no, nothing happened. And then the next day he had to report to our class that she remembered falling off of a little tram. And the doctor said, nothing's wrong. The baby's fine. But it did cause him trauma. And it carried through his like 30 years until he had that German auricular medicine treatment. And it was like, ha, I let it go. So people say that they've tried everything. And I can guarantee you, you probably haven't. There are so many modalities out there. And all of us as practitioners just gravitate to whatever we gravitate to. And you will gravitate to whatever you gravitate to. But there's so many things. So
I'm going to unpack a few things you said there that are critical, especially you and I were discussing a lot of what happened in the past 4 years. I'm going to have to be very careful what I say because, you know, I have a YouTube account that I've had since the beginning of this program, and it's been stuck at 99,500 for the past 5 years. It doesn't move from there. because they don't want us to cross that threshold.
No.
But at any rate, a few weeks ago, I uploaded a show about alien implants, all things. It was there for about a week, garnering a lot of views. Boom. All of a sudden, I got a strike. It was removed. It was medical misinformation. And I got back to YouTube and I said, excuse me, this is something that's esoteric. You know, it's difficult to say where it comes from. But how am I engaging in medical misinformation? Oh, our experts decided that this is, at any rate, I have to be careful about what I say. But in the past 4 years, we've seen what's happening. But you use the word download. Mm-hmm. And this is one thing that I've been discussing for a long time. I truly believe that we have something inside of our brain, let's call it the pineal gland, and that there is a concerted effort to calcify that with fluoride, with all the things that we breathe, we eat, the water that we drink. Do you think that this organ of ours is there for a specific reason? Or medicine says, oh, that's just there for the growth hormone, just like the appendix. We don't need it. Just get it out, the spleen. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I look at it a little differently. I mean, yes, I mentioned in my book about the pineal gland specifically and how in medical school we were taught like one little narrow thing about it. But in the esoteric world, we, of course, know a whole big thing about it. And then there's Wi-Fi that, destroys parts of our brain and specifically that. I think what's more important is that we are a multi-self. The multi-self is the true aspect of who we are, and it could be known as the spirit. But when we are in alignment with that, when we are standing in alignment with that, that is where we create truth. So whatever they're trying to do to this genetic human body, overall, it doesn't really matter. And I actually think that the genes are implants. Yes, we have our multi-self aspect of the genes, but the part that's from the puppeteers, the part that they tweak, the part that they hold us locked down and away from our multi-self, that is from them. So if you stand back and look at the genetic human body, like it's kind of already controlled, it's already locked down. We can't make vitamin C on our own anymore. I think we probably could once before we took on these genes, when we were physicalish spiritoids, when we were, you know, able to float around with a thought. We were more like an etheric entity, you know. I just feel it doesn't even matter worrying about all that stuff about what they do and, oh my gosh, because, you know, the genetic human loves to be a victim. And it's so much better to just, if you don't like what something is, then transmute it. Do the violet cubes of light, which I can explain if you want. But like I used to get really angry about things like the chemtrails and the 5G towers and the 4G towers. And no matter how hard we fight and no matter how we stop them, they're always popping up everywhere. And I am someone who stopped a 4G tower despite their legislation, Section 704 of the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which said that you can't stop communication for health. And so all of us in the meeting were like, we don't want this 4G tower because it's going to hurt our health. And they're like, doesn't matter. Too bad. So sad. So I appealed it and I used Ray, I think his name was Broomhall's strategy of abuse. And I won. They couldn't put the tower there. But then it didn't matter because they don't ask you anymore. They just go and hide 5G antennas everywhere. So are we going to get mad about it, or are we just going to transmute it and take the energy that they intend toward us to be harmful, and we just change it around to like blessings and watch them ground into the soil and into the soil bacteria and to things like that. There are also attacks that I feel every now and then coming from the Pacific Ocean. And I would suspect it's the military science government, human on human faction, maybe the Navy, you know, I don't know who they are. But I feel this stuff every now and then just coming at us. So rather than just like, oh, you have no right to do this to me, wah, 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 I change it. I turn it around. I make it love. And because love is real. All that stuff they do to us, that's not real. Maybe the genetic human body isn't real either. And the physicalish spiritoid, the etheric body, is where the last of our bodies that's coming from real is. I mean, I don't know. But I certainly have fun playing around with it.
So basically, you're saying that we need to stop being victims and be victors and transmute anything that comes to us. But at the same time, we have to be aware You mentioned something interesting about these cell towers that are hidden. I live in the desert. And now, I mean, this has been happening for a long time, but you see them in the, they look like cacti everywhere in the middle of the desert, right? Yes. And you live in Southern California, you probably see them as palm trees.
Yes. Yuck. Mm-hmm.
What do you think the purpose of these cell towers is? Because I really don't believe that they're just for 5G and the rest of it. It's for something else.
Right. What they are, and the 5G too, is for control. It's to get us on the imposter ray, which is an artificial intelligence kind of avenue, or I like to say AI, because it's awful individuals, alien intruders, and artificial intelligence. It's not necessarily just artificial intelligence, but it's trying to get us away from our standing in alignment with the sound of self, which is standing in alignment with your multi-self, which is where all the power and love is. It's the thing that's true and real. The imposter ray is this thing that's made up. It's not real. It's, you know, so I think all of it goes to that. The social credit system, the reason they got us on money, I think, over property and trading is because they were trying to get us over to the social credit system slowly. The reason they brought electricity in the way that they did, where you have a company and you're paying, I think all of that was because it was a gateway to the television, gateway to the computer, gateway to the phone, gateway to making you the phone. So, you know, you've got the technology inside you. Basically, I think all of it, it even looks like alien technology. It doesn't even look, you know, it doesn't even look like something from nature. You know, it's yuck. But to put it this way, I feel that humanity is a genetic human that is making a choice. We either need to become more of a light bearer human, where we're higher frequency and we're rising above our implants, which are the genes, rising above all this stuff that they do to us, supposedly, you know, the 5G, the 6G, the smart meters that people have on their homes, and the smart water meters. And because it isn't just a smart electric meter, I mean, they're sneaking everything in. And I think all of it is because it's like we're on a train track. And that train track can either be switched so that we're in alignment with the sound of self and our multi-self, or they want to switch it to put us to the imposter ray. When we're with the imposter ray, we don't even know that we're not in alignment with ourselves. All of those people who I know who are like successive humans, they're the Trust the Science group, the group where you try and have an individual conversation with them about anything. And all of them, even though it's individually, all of them will give you the same answers for everything because it's a program. So the TV, the stations that they watch, the 5G, their phones that are constantly on their person, all of that is to get you derailed over to the imposter ray where they can control you completely and, you know, away from your higher self kind of thing. And to let you know a little bit about like a version of the grays, because I've heard that discussion. There are, in my opinion, there are also the grays that are the successive humans. They are the ones that can't procreate, or they're more robotic. They're more like hive mind. I think there might be a gray that is like the genetic human, where they're more whole and they're more able to do things wherever they live, wherever they go. But just like the genetic human is becoming the successive human or the light bearer human, the successive human is not going to be able to procreate. They are like a hive mind. Just talk to them. They all give you the same reaction. It's not even a response where they sit down and think. It's just, oh, I would have gotten it worse if I didn't have that, you know, cookie or whatever, you know. And then there's also the grays that I think are automatons, like they're like robots that maybe the bad reptiles use, or the military science government human on human faction use to go out and harvest whatever they want, or program a human however they want them to, you know, so things like that.
You mentioned remote viewers and other non-physical beings as part of your work. Can you explain how you first encountered these entities and what your experience have taught you about their nature?
I cannot tell you where it first happened, but I can tell you when I was writing my book, it would feel like someone was suddenly here. Like, this isn't where I wrote the book, but, you know, like here in my space. And it's as if a head bops in like through my body and opens their eyes and they're looking at what I'm doing. And so then I have measures to take care of things like that and to make it clear, I don't want you to trespass. But one of the most amazing remote viewing experiences I had was...
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.